Okay, interview with producer Michael Seven Summers, and we are talking about Prozac's We All Fall Down. Now this, if I'm not mistaken, was the first Strange Music album that you were able to produce front to back. You've had other ones like Black Gold and Lynch's Records where you're on a majority of it, but this one is all you. How was that, taking on that endeavor? How was that for you?
Well, just something I always wanted to do. I mean, I always wanted to be able to do an album from front to back. You know, that way we can kind of, you know, just create this world and like live in it. You know, that was sort of the whole idea. And like I've done it like on a few other albums, but there's been, you know, like another producer or two in the mix, you know, like on Kicking and Screaming and like on Black Gold and, you know, and with Lynch. And with those records, you know, I end up like sort of like setting the tone for it, and then we find like other producers that end up having a beat that just fits with what we're doing, and it all works. But this was definitely a unique project because there wasn't any like outside influence at all. And I think that can be a good thing and a bad thing, but I think in this case it ended up being a really good thing.
Awesome. This record also features some new production techniques and recording techniques for your beats that I've heard. We're talking about a lot of live instruments, you know, yeah. Acoustic guitars. You're putting in string sections to where I can't even tell if you got it from your software, your hardware, or from actual string sections. So that's pretty cool. I couldn't tell the difference. But tell me about some of these before we get into this track by track breakdown, you know, not of the whole album. We're going to pick some tracks, listen to them, and you're going to tell us how you develop these beats, but tell us about the overall process of making this production and how exciting that was for you.
Well, yeah, like you said, you know, we used a lot of live instruments on this. More live stuff than I've ever done on any Strange Music album. And I've done it before a lot, you know, just not with any artists on Strange before. So yeah, I mean, it was something I'm definitely familiar with, that whole world, like recording stuff live. Just on this one, I was able to just, you know, take it there. You know, Prozac just gave me, you know, total freedom to do whatever, you know. And I told him from the beginning I wanted to do lots of live guitars, live drums, you know, live everything we can possibly do live, you know, on this. So yeah, you know, that was sort of the technique that I used on this album. It worked out really well because, you know, we would start off with like a live guitar part and like a bass part and maybe something, you know, percussive or whatever, and I could build the track around that rather than the other way around, which is what I normally do. I normally just, you know, create a track like, you know, that's like 75% or 80% digital, and then we kind of like add some live elements into it. This is sort of the other way around. We sort of like have the live elements, and those were really like forefront, and everything like digital and sequence and everything was sort of the support of the track.
Cool. Yeah. And was that fun for you? I mean, I know you said you'd done it before, but
no, definitely, like for sure. I've never been able to do it like on like with a rap project before.
Right.
And you know, Prozac is really, you know, he's really like into metal and into like bands and like rock music. So he totally understood that whole environment. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, I think there's a certain level of authenticity to this album, you know, that just, you know, we weren't just using live instruments just to use live instruments, you know, sort of like me and Prozac both love those things. So, you know, it was totally cool to do.
Okay. Well, let's get into first one. First one I want to pick is one of the hard rock ones you're talking about. It's called 3-2-1. So let's listen to that real quick and talk about it. We'll be right back.
plastic like Anakin. So please pass me the Xanax, I'm just trying to feel like me again. Recently I've been needing reasons to even get out of bed. The more I think, the less I feel imprisonment inside my head. And I can't escape cause there's nowhere to run. Should I? Ship, I'm going right into the sun. I feel like I'm giving up, am I the only one? A matter of time till their design will kill everyone. And this begins.
Okay, so back on 3-2-1. What was the inspiration behind this track? Did Prozac come up to you? It's, you know, obviously he likes hard rock, so he's like, I want some hard shit. Yeah. And this is one of those songs.
Well, yeah, it sort of came at a time when we've done like all this acoustic, more like laid back stuff on the album, and we wanted to do some stuff that he could perform and, you know, all that. So that's where this one came from. I kind of sat down to make something that was, you know, like, you know, hard rock and more like drum driven, you know, than the other stuff. So I had some guitar parts that were recorded and also some drums, and they came from separate places. There's some drums from a drummer that I work with in Wichita sent to me, and then the guitar parts. And I started working with the guitars, and I took those, and in a way they sort of became digitized, because I ran them through a bunch of filters and chopped them up and ran them through some cool like stutter effect type stuff, type of plugins, you know, got the loop to where I liked it, you know. It was totally different than what it was originally, and then put the drums to it, and I sort of just had that. I had the drum tracks and the guitar tracks. I had them all edited the way I liked it, and then I just built from there. You know, I built the rest of the stuff around it. I put added the program drums on top of the live drums to make it heavier. There's really not a lot going on in the track, you know, besides like the drums, the bass, and the guitar. It's pretty consistent throughout. It's like a regular, like the elements that a band would have. You know, it's just you know, and then we have that different, the part on the verses or whatever, the guitar kind of changes a little bit. It's like da na 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 na, and the bass line that doubles that. When I finished the track, I sent it to Prozac, and that the only thing me and Prozac had talked about was doing something where he follows a certain pattern, and I hadn't said anything to him. But when I sent him this, he called me and was like, is this the one that you wanted me to follow, the da na 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 na, in the verses? And I was like, yeah, that was my idea for that one. I thought this could be the one where you kind of follow some kind of like melodic pattern with the verses. And he was like, okay, cool, that's, yeah, you know, that's and he did that, and then the hook, you know, he put that together with Rob Rebeck. Yeah, that's kind of how that one came. Pretty authentic, like rock, other than me just chopping up stuff, you know what I mean?
And your experience when you're recording electronic, or I'm sorry, when you're recording guitars for a rap song or for what you do, does the digital distortion represent itself better in that element?
Yeah.
Because it makes it a little
you mean rather than like
harsher, yeah, other than
like
just a straight
or something,
yeah. Rather than the straight tube or whatever, because that gives it more of an airy feel a lot of times.
Yeah, you know I mean, I'm a fan of amping everything, you know, and recording it that way. I like to do that. It's just, you know, normally I'm in a position where I don't have enough time to do it, really. In that situation, you know, since the guitars were kind of recorded without an idea in mind, I kind of just had to work with what I had. And in those kind of situations, it is better to, like, run it through, you know, like a digital, like, plug-in or something, you know, rather than actually amping guitars, because I don't know what the outcome of the track is going to be, you know. I guess in a perfect world, if we could have went back on that, track, if we would have had enough time and replayed all the guitars and amped them and stuff, I would have totally been into that. We just didn't have enough time.
Definitely. And there's also a really cool part where you have this reverberous guitar, these two notes that go back and forth during the verses. That
oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that something you had the idea for initially going into that, or is that just another layer you added on afterwards?
That was really just another layer, just something for texture. You're talking about the real high.
Yeah, the atmospheric sounding guitar. I thought it was pretty cool because you're almost using what sounds like feedback almost in a rhythmic sort of way.
Yeah, it might have been actually what it was. I can't even remember right now exactly what that was, but it really was just something there for texture, you know. Mm-hmm. I just thought it sounded cool and kind of added like an ominous type of vibe to the track, you know, even more so than what it was, because if you listen to it, you know, the verses are like, I think, much like darker and kind of more, actually the guitar parts come from two totally different places. They weren't even supposed to go together, like the hook guitars and then the verse guitars, they weren't supposed to go together. I just thought they sounded cool together. So I mean, it totally changes key and totally changes the whole shit, you know, when it goes into the verse from the hook. But yeah, I just kind of added some of those elements to sort of tie everything together.
Last question about the electric guitar thing. Were you layering a lot? Because it does have a thick and heavy sound, or is this just one guitar that you found a way to channel in that?
No, I think the guitars have like, you know, like two layers, you know, and then on this song, you know, the bass line is just playing the exact same thing that the guitars are playing. It's just on a lower octave to kind of just give it a little bit of, you know, just
some body.
Yeah. So there's really not a ton of layers going on this one. If we would have retracked it live and amped everything, I would have done a ton of layers.
Gotcha. Well, it sounds very full. Very awesome.
Thanks.
All right. Well, let's get into this next one here. It's called Nowhere to Run.
Be trying to take all that evil back. Got a feeling this is the season to reap a harvest, and karma always snaps harder when it's coming from your own hand. Hits you like a fist, knocks your soul down in quicksand. Here we go, animals are dying by the thousands, and these forests are depleting, building subsidized housing. Overpopulation is breaking, the sand is climbing, decreasing of our supplies, global warming, climate rise. Tell me, where do we go when nothing's left? Nowhere to run, such a mess, nowhere to hide, such distress. Poisonous air takes your breath, GMOs watch it grow, corporation cash flow. What's the goal? I don't know. Mind control, I suppose. We ain't gonna go nowhere to turn, and the sky turns black and the fires burn, and the oceans flood and overturn. There's nowhere, nowhere to run. Sea
levels rise. Okay, so off top, you can tell, at least to me, this sounds very bluesy.
Yeah.
It's got the, like a southern rootsy sound to it. How did this track start off?
Well, we were trying to make something like that, you know, like that was the vibe of the album at that point. This was sort of early on when we did like Blood Paved Road and that batch of songs. And this is before we did any of the hard rock shit or anything. So I pretty much just got with a guitarist that I work with, and we put down the guitar part on this, the acoustic part, and then, you know, we just built everything else around the acoustic part. I mean, he just sat down and played it immediately, and you know, I took it and edited it, and we kind of built it up and built a couple B parts to it, like the part where you can hear it where it stops or whatever and goes into like the slide part or whatever. Anyways, I put together the whole the track. It was originally different, you know, like I was saying, the way it's formatted now is not the way we formatted it originally. Originally, it was just like one big long piece that really didn't have a hook or anything. It was just like 4 minutes of like a track building is kind of what I wanted it to be. So the part that you hear where Prozac is like rapping with like the pianos and some of the harder violin stabs and stuff that I put in there, and the drums and everything, that wasn't until like the last, like, you know, 30 seconds of the track. And Prozac liked it a lot. My idea was that this would be like an intro for the album, but when he sat down to write it, he reformatted it. And actually, you know, the part that he's rapping on was really supposed to be like maybe like the hook at the end of the song, if there even was a hook. And the other part, the softer part, which is the hook now, was actually supposed to be where he rapped at, but he said he heard the verses over the harder part. So anyways, we formatted it that way, and you know, it's got like a lot of live, like almost everything in that is live also. And what, you know, he went in and laid it down and had Rob Rebeck do the hook on it, which I loved. Prozac was always really unsure of this song, and in the beginning, this wasn't going to make the album, but I liked it so much, I told him we have to put it on the album. So, yeah, there was this song went through a lot of changes.
Wow, well, and which that happens sometimes.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm glad that we got to do that on this kind of on this album. Because a lot of albums I don't really get to do that. You know, it's kind of like if we don't like the song, there's no like second try or anything like that. This one was totally like, you know, I went back in actually on this when Prozac didn't like it after he had laid the verses. We had the hook done, the vocals were done. There's something he didn't like about it still, and I went back in and tweaked the verses and made them build a little bit more, you know, because they originally were just like everything that you hear towards the end of the verse with the pianos and everything real built up. It just kind of did that for 12 bars or 8 bars, or whatever, how long the verses are. But I went back in and made the verses build a little bit, and then we liked the song a lot more. But yeah,
it's cool. Well, in the song, you know, you hear the riff, drums come in, and you're like, okay, we have some rap shit going on here. And then, like you said, you have pianos, these string elements, I think.
There's a bunch of strings in there, and the strings aren't real, but I have a program that sounds pretty fucking real, so I use that on this song. And they sounded really cool because I kept the strings really, like, super, like, dry and just, like, real, like, up front, you know? Mm-hmm. So they have this sort of, like, lonesome kind of feel to them, and yeah, I thought it sounded really cool.
And then you have where drums and everything just drops out, and this vocal comes in. Was that Rob Rebeck, the part?
Yeah, that was Rob Rebeck on that part.
How's his talent as a vocal arranger? Because it sounds pretty good on that part.
Oh, Rob is the best. Yeah, Rob is, as far as, I mean, you know, the only, like, Chris is really good at vocal arranging also, but Chris and Rob, they're like, you know, the two best like vocal arrangers that I know. Like, Rob is totally good with like understanding how vocals need to be arranged and like, you know, putting together harmonies, which is really important, and being able to tell when something's just slightly out of like key. That's really, because even I can't tell that, you know. I'm just like, fuck it, it sounds good, like, let's just go with it. I just want to keep going, like, I don't want to stop. But Rob is like, no, let's retake it and make sure it's like perfectly like in key, you know. And so, and that has its benefits, you know, having someone like that around, because like, most engineers can't do that, you know. So he's totally good with it. He's awesome. He's an awesome singer too.
And about your guitar player, whose idea was it to come in with the slide in that little breakdown right there?
The guitarist that I work with, Jace Wilbert, he just, you know, we kind of just sit down, and I mean, I've worked with him for years and years and years, and he just knows what to do. You know, we just sit down and we recorded the part, and I was like, let's add something to it. You know, he's like, what should I add? And I'm like, just play whatever. I just hit record or whatever, and he just plays stuff, and then I'm like, okay, cool, let's add more. And we just keep adding until I kind of feel like we have enough elements. But yeah, that's definitely, you know, it was obviously all the guitar parts were his idea.
Yeah. Good idea, though. It's totally. Not often you hear slide guitar in a hip-hop track. As a matter of fact, how would you classify this song if you had to genre-fy it? could you put a label on it?
I definitely think it's more like folky type of, like, folky, bluesy, you know, obviously rap, you know what I mean? And I think it's totally different because it does have this folky, acoustic, blues type of feel to it. The guitarist, Jace, he's actually a really amazing blues guitarist. So this was, like, totally, like, right up his... his alley, you know, so that's what he does.
Definitely, definitely. All right, well, let's get in the next song, Time. Let's talk about that.
Sitting back, just thinking about the lives I've touched, the hearts and minds through my lines, rhymes and such, trying to fill the void that can't seem to get enough. Up the open road, hit the stage, such a rush. But sometimes that limelight just ain't bright enough to outshine the dark side that I discussed. Makes my teeth grind, enjoys making my life rough. Feels like handcuffs, makes it hard to stand tough. So out of place, so out of patience, so out of touch. Just need a break, some safe haven. With any luck, I'll break away from these endless days of grain stuff. Life against the grain, turn the page, turn this up.
Where did the time go? Where did the time go? Where did the time go? Tell me, where did the time go?
If you could see inside me, all these things that terrorize me, always there just to remind me that I can never be someone like you.
So this song, very close to the end of the album, very dramatic song, very emotional song, even down to, you know, the beat and stuff. How did this start out?
Well, this song had a piano part. I had the piano chords, which are, you know, pretty basic piano chords. There's nothing special at all. It's kind of like on a day when I wasn't really feeling it too much, actually, and Prozac was actually in town at my studio, and I showed him the piano parts and told him I really didn't like it very much, but he really liked it. So, and he had an idea for the song. He even had an idea at that point in time for the "Where did the time go? Where did the time go?" Like the whole hook, that melody. Well, I guess that's really not on the. Well, yeah, I guess it is part of the hook. Like the build up to the hook, I guess, is where we used it. But anyways, he had that, so I was like, I'll go ahead and finish the beat. And so I finished it. I put like the strings in it. It was pretty much just like piano, the strings, and the horn, which are all fake. And I programmed some drums, which are just real simple, like breakbeat drums, nothing. And I sent it to him, and he wrote the song. And as we worked on the song, it started to become like a much bigger like production. I went in and recorded the pianos live, and we added strings to it, the acoustic guitar that you can hear just real subtly in the background. And then I needed to get a drummer for it. I wanted to replace the breakbeat drums with real drums. I thought it'd just be really cool to do. And have it be almost all the way live that way. And we had Go-Go Ray come in, who's like just, you know, a phenomenal drummer from Kansas City, like one of the best. And I always wanted to work with Go-Go on something, you know, like for years and years and years. And so this was the opportunity that I had, and we brought him in, and he killed it. Like real, you know, it's not a real technical track. It's just got more of a groove to it, you know, and he got into it, he killed it, and yeah, you know, then we had to find a singer for this, you know, and I had like a, you know, we have singers that are sort of like our go-to singers for, and I have people that I know too, but nobody really seemed to fit this part too much, and Rob had been sending me some stuff this artist that he's working with named Crystal Clayton. And I liked her voice, but I didn't know what to use her for until this song was done. And I told Rob, I was like, let's try to get Crystal Clayton to do the hook on this, you know? And we didn't have it written or anything, but Prozac sort of had an idea for it. And we brought Crystal in and sat down with her and wrote the hook. And she recorded it and killed it.
When you have someone that good, you know, come in to drum for you, is there really much you need to tell him?
No. He just listened to the track and just, I was just like, just do your thing on it. Like, you know, there's certain musicians that that I gotta guide through it, you know, and we'll work on it, piece by piece, each part to get it to where it needs to be. But the guy like Go-Go Ray, yeah, there's not much you can say. I mean, you know, just play the track and let him do what he wants to do.
Give the ball to Jordan,
Yeah, for sure, with him. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Anything else you want to say about this track? I mean, I think you pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's of everything on the album, it's probably the most live track. If I could have done everything live on this, I would have, like, went in and redid the strings and everything. But the strings and that horn part, the two synthetic parts of the song, that's the only thing in there that's not live. Everything else is live. The bass, the guitar, the pianos, drums, everything. So,
well, in closing this, I just want to say thank you for taking us through the journey of some of these songs and how you went into the production. I think, and I think a lot of fans agree, that the production on this record is very special, and it seems that it was a very special process for you too.
Definitely, man.
All right, thank you very much. This was an interview with Michael Seven Summers. Keep it strange.